listening to the Puyallup Tribal Podcast. Visit us online at puyallup tribe.org. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or download directly from the website, where you can listen anytime on your computer or mobile device. Now, let's go fishing.
Good afternoon or evening or morning, wherever you happen to be listening to the Puyallup Tribal Podcast. That, I gotta say, Brandon, that sounds a lot better than what we had before.
You know, by comparison it does, but I think I can do better. We should have some fresh ones soon.
Well, we should probably, you know, prepare longer than 10 minutes before the show. You know what I mean? Anyway, well, we're gonna have a pretty good show today. We've got the website. Join us. Visit us online, puyallup tribe.org, or as you said in the beginning, find us on iTunes. All you have to do is go to your iTunes store, search Puyallup Podcast, click on the little fish that shows up, and you can hit subscribe. You can also tell us how we're doing with the ratings review tab. So write one up and let the world know what you think.
And if you really want to let Brandon know that he's better than Clifton, that's okay too. Just be sure to make that your subject line. And I'll appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's start with listener mail. Unbelievably, we actually got some listener mail in. This is the sound of an email, just to show you that we're not a wacky DJ sound effect show. We actually print out your emails, and which you can send in to podcast@puyallup tribe.org. And I should mention that we have a really cool guest with us today, and she's going to help us out with our emails and with the second segment, which is going to be the role of tribal government. Annette Bryan, who's running for tribal council for the Puyallup Tribe. Annette, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, it's always good to add an extra voice to the show. Makes it a little bit more fun. So first email comes in. Yeah. So the first email comes in from Aisha, who listened to the podcast and says, "This is great. My grandmother was Blackfoot Indian and Cherokee, and I'm interested in learning more about my culture." And that's actually one of the reasons why I started doing this particular type of podcast with Brandon, you know, because we're not just because we're tribal members, but because I think it's good to for all of us to learn a little bit more. And if we can, you know, increase our knowledge, that's going to be a good thing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and many people have heard, you know, stereotypical stories or things that are, you know, really commonplace. But I think that it would be nice to, throughout the life of the show, just kind of explore more untold stories or less known stories, you know?
Yeah. And since we own the show, we can do that.
That's right. And there's nothing they can do about it.
not a thing. Patty says, "I love your podcast, Native Voices Matter." Actually, Patty, all voices matter. So,
but native too.
Native so too? Yeah, that is true. But not only native voices, but some voices matter more than others. No, I'm just kidding. All voices matter. Now, this one is a little bit more in depth. It comes from Monica that came into the Puyallup Tribal Facebook page. And she listened to did you have a chance to listen to the one I did with Sean, Brennan?
No, I haven't listened to that yet.
Okay. Well,
it's the last few weeks of my semester at school, so I've been pretty busy.
Okay. Well, we talked a little bit about, like, tribal housing and things like that, because I had read a little bit about it. And the thing that I questioned was, you know, in the regular United States, when you own a home or you have property, you pay property taxes. And so there was a lot of stuff I didn't understand about how that works. Well, she listened to that show and said, "The tribe doesn't actually generate revenue from real estate transactions that take place within reservation boundaries. So non-native people who own homes or land on the reservation pay their taxes to the federal government." Now, I'm not sure if we know about property taxes. Yeah, and that's shaking her head no, because that didn't make a lot of sense to me, because property taxes never go to the federal government. That's local government.
Right.
And so, you know, and I don't think people can own land on the reservation, can they? Isn't that all owned by our tribe?
So the Puyallup Reservation is very unique in that we have our reservation land base, about 18,000 acres within the borders of the reservation, and we own about 13% of it in tribal trust property. And tribal trust property doesn't pay taxes. It's tax exempt, okay. And the tribe has jurisdiction over it. And I, for example, own my home on the reservation, and it's not in tribal trust, so I pay taxes to Pierce County. And all the landowners pay taxes to the county in which they live in.
So you can't. So the tribe doesn't collect that?
No, they do not.
If it's tribal land, why can't we collect the taxes? Why does Pierce County get them? We should get them.
Well, this is actually land that's not in tribal trust. So there's most of the reservation, the Puyallup Tribal Reservation, is not in tribal trust.
So how is it a reservation if it's not in trust? Isn't that like what a reservation is?
No, not necessarily. They call it checkerboard reservations. So
okay.
Unfortunately, much of our land was sold off, and now individual owners can come in and buy the land. So we're pretty urban, and we have a bunch of big cities.
Is it still a reservation, though?
The reservation boundaries are ours. In the land claim settlement, we really gave up a lot of jurisdiction. We have jurisdiction on tribal trust properties, the Puyallup River, and the river banks.
Okay. So the land that is in trust, can we charge property taxes on that? I know the county can't, but can we? Like, for example, if you own a home on tribal trust land, can we collect property taxes on that?
So here's a good, there are smoke shops in tribal trust.
Okay.
The tribe does collect taxes from those businesses on tribal trust land. The Puyallup Tribe of Indians does tax those businesses. Individual homes are held in trust by the U.S. government for the individual, because we used to be needy wards of the federal government in the past. And so
of course
it's held in trust for Annette Bryan by the U.S. government. So that's why the tribe wouldn't necessarily do real estate taxes, but I don't see why they couldn't.
Okay. So things could possibly change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And they do tax businesses. So that's,
so we do have some jurisdiction over taxing things on our own land. So, I mean, that's at least a good thing.
Yes, we do.
So, all right, cool. This next one comes in from Joanne Shemen Warren, and she's reacting to the topic that me and Brandon did about native sovereignty. That was actually the first segment that we ever did, remember?
Oh, yeah. See, what I like to do is save all of these shows so I can listen to them all at once. So I actually haven't heard that week yet.
Okay. You did it with me. You were there.
I don't listen to the show even when I'm on it.
All right. Well, she's reacting to native sovereignty.
I do remember the subject. Absolutely.
Okay. She says.
What is sovereignty? I'm kidding.
Well, she says that this country, she thinks this country wants to hide and act like they are the true Americans, when truly they stole it. Her grammar isn't the best. They do not even teach about Native Americans in the public schools unless it's Thanksgiving. Even then, the history isn't being taught.
I think she means taught.
No. Brandon can't actually see the email. It does say taunt.
Well, yeah, I am like 1,500 miles away, but I think she meant taunt. Yeah,
she would make sense in
the context of the email.
Probably should have written that. So, actually, this is something that I do have an opinion on for sure, because while things that happened in the past were terrible, I mean, nobody's denying that, and it certainly affected our people for my goodness, for centuries.
Or till now, it's still affecting our people.
Absolutely. But what do you think, Brandon? What do you think the chances are that is ever going to change? Do you think we're going to roll back the clock on that?
I have a pretty good idea that all the United States citizens aren't going to, you know, leave. So I think things are going to stay the way they are, generally speaking.
So do you think it's and this is actually something that I have noticed among tribal members from coast to coast. I mean, all over the place. They hold on to this. How can I put it? Kind of like this bitterness or anger. They're really mad about things that happened in the past. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be mad about the past, but in one sense, we need to kind of let it go. Maybe not forget about it, because you can't forget about it, because that's forgetting your history. Yeah,
I'm one of those people who's mad at the past. I feel that way. I am angry about the atrocities that
absolutely.
Were committed.
But there's a difference between being angry about the past and holding on to hatred and bitterness.
And having those feelings affect your choices in today's world. You can't, you know, you have to have a disconnect. You can have those emotions, but you can't let them make your choices for you.
Yeah. And I kind of feel, and this is my opinion, I feel if you concentrate all your time on the past and think about the terrible things that happened and fill yourself up with this anger, you're never moving forward. You're never getting better. And I'm of a mind of saying, hey, if we were the first peoples and we were the native peoples, let's do everything we can to move forward and take as much of our country back as we possibly can, you know?
Yeah. And just to the letter writer's point, you know, I heard this story. I don't know if it's true or not. It's one of those things I read online, you know, but I heard this story of a man standing in a grocery line, and this woman was on a cell phone in front of him, and she's speaking a different language other than English. And he starts to start pacing around and get red in the face. And you can tell he is visibly irritated by this woman on her cell phone speaking another language. And he can't take it anymore and yells, "You know what, lady, if you want to speak Spanish, go back down to Mexico." And she looks at him and puts her phone down, says, "Excuse me one second. Yeah, that's Navajo. So why don't you go, if you want to speak English, why don't you go back to England?"
I like it. Exactly. And so,
So it does seem like they do like to sometimes, you know, United States citizens, they feel like, you know, they're the true American or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And but see, the thing is in today's world, Americans are here, you know, and in this country ain't going anywhere. And so we need to operate in the within the rules and the country we live in, because you ain't going to change it. But we can use that to move ourselves, our tribe, and native interests forward. And we can do more than we're doing, you know? And so, go ahead, Annette.
Yeah, I think you guys are both right. You know, there's this historical trauma is how it's being termed. And we can use what we know from the past to influence how we move forward in the future. So taking all of that hurt and all of that pain and the boarding schools and the way our culture was stripped away from us, the way that our land was taken from us, and take what we have now and get educated, talk to one another, start to heal through that trauma, and then use that information to influence how we move forward. Because we are part of the system. We are part of the United States government. You know, we're sovereign nations within a nation. So we're dual citizens in essence. And we do have to live, especially in the Puyallup tribe here, we have 7 jurisdictions in our reservation borders within or touching our borders. And so we really do have to be part of that, like you're saying, this society that we live in.
And in a lot of ways, by the way, that puts us ahead of a lot of business entities and a lot of the traditional, not traditional, but the, you know, just a usual American citizen. We're ahead. And so we have some advantages that other people don't have. Why don't we need to use those advantages more? Because if we don't use the advantages, we're holding ourselves back now.
Right. And the fighting and the anger and the bitterness, it's not useful.
No.
It really isn't going to help us advance our people or advance our causes. If we have laws that we want to get changed, we've got to work with the system, and the system is here. There's really not much we can do about it.
Absolutely agree with that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the role of government and get Annette's take on that. So we'll be right back here on the Puyallup Tribal Podcast.
When the white man discovered this country, Indians were running it. There were no taxes, no debt, and women did all the work. And they thought they could improve on the system? Good job, guys. You're listening to the Puyallup Tribal Podcast. Now let's go fishing.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with dachshund reading.
No.
Let me try. Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out words.
Playing world music.
What?
I give up.
Wait, I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Redirecting to understood.org.
Join parents and experts at understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues to help your child thrive.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with dachshund reading.
No.
Let me try. Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out words.
Playing world music.
What?
I give up.
Wait, I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Redirecting to understood.org.
Join parents and experts at understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues to help your child thrive.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Listening to the Puyallup Tribal Podcast with Cliff and Brandon. They'll drink, you drive. Now, let's go fishing.
All right, welcome back. I hate it when the same commercial plays twice.
I could see the reaction on your face.
I was so mad. I got to fix that. Because I should have... Normally, I have like the rules, the separation rules, but it doesn't always work.
You know, I've got an idea.
You could get
real advertisers, and then we could just play those instead.
Okay, moving on. All right. Now, with the in our particular tribe, and I know it's different in tribes across the country, but in our tribe, we've got an election coming up, and so I wanted to kind of touch on the role of government, because you know I think that it's something that a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on. And kind of the way I feel is when you have a government, its job is to oversee and regulate. It's up to whatever governing body you have to set the policies, the rules, and the regulations that we all live and work by.
I think you just defined government in general right there. Yeah.
That's how I feel. You know, but people think that it should go farther. I also think that government should establish the consequences for people who break the rules. You've got, you know, the court system, the police that help keep us safe physically, financially, corruption.
Right, so basically you're saying government sets the rules and also the consequences if you break them.
Yeah, absolutely. And in major corporations, because there's a lot of different types of government, in a major corporation, a board of directors is the government of the business. And even there, they stay out of day-to-day operations, because I don't believe that it's the place of government. You know, like in a communist country, the government runs like everything. The government owns businesses. The government runs them. They dictate things. But in a major corporation, even your board of directors stays out of those day-to-day operations. Their role is to establish broad policies, objectives, like where are we going? And then they select the right people who are going to be involved in those day-to-day operations, like the CEO or your general manager and then the board of directors. Once their people in place come up with like the budget and the finances, they're held to account by the government. So the government holds them accountable. And if they're not following or doing what they're supposed to be doing, they get fired. So, and then there's division heads that are in charge of various enterprises that generate the actual revenue. And those are the people who are involved in day-to-day operations. So the role of government in this case holds the CEO and everybody accountable for their performances. And I believe that in our tribe, and every tribe, is a single united family. We're all a family together. That's what a tribe is. And everything that we do should be for the benefit of the tribe. I kind of believe that if the tribe benefits, we as individuals benefit. But if an individual benefits, the tribe is harmed. So everything we do, and by extension, our representatives in the tribal council have to ask the question of themselves, is this best for the tribe or any one individual? Because if it's good for a person, we shouldn't be doing it. But if it's good for the tribe as a whole, it's going to be good for all of us as individuals. And so I kind of feel like that's sort of the role of government. And I know in a lot of tribes, the tribal council, well, they're kind of, they've got their hands in every pie that's around, you know, or they have no idea, you know. So that's kind of how I feel. Tell me where I'm wrong.
So, well, you're wrong because you didn't get good internet, like I told you, and I lost like 60% of your explanation. So I'll have to listen back. Remember how I said I'm not here even when I'm here? It was one of those things.
Annette, were you able to hear?
I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Oh, can you can't see me? I can see you.
I think we all linked up again. The wonders of technology.
So tell me where I'm wrong about the role of government.
Yeah. Well, I think you're spot on about the role of government and about government really being the policy makers and the makers of the policies that hold the policies up to compliance. And you use the word dictatorship, you know, and I think tribal council sometimes gets into that role of dictatorship. They really do have their hands in so many things. And it's time for us to really step back and say, okay, we're a tribe. We have a court system. We have a children's services. We have a housing program. We have a clinic. We have all of these things set up with directors in place and staff in place. And we shouldn't be, you know, some good examples of things that happens is, let's say a child gets in trouble at school. Well, they belong to a certain family. They run to tribal council. The people at the school get in trouble, not the child.
Okay. And is that does that come from tribal council?
Yeah. You will not, you know, harass this family. This kind of thing has been going on for quite a while where they're involved in really minute details of everyday life and certain families. And there's a lot of grease and squeaky wheels and I think people would be really surprised to hear what kinds of things happen at the council table. And I would like to see council back away from that more and really set some strategic direction for the tribe. You mentioned this too. What's in the best interest of everybody? What's in the best interest of the tribal membership and not just specific little niches or individuals, but what... How do we step back from those social issues?
Yeah, because I absolutely
programs do their job.
Because I absolutely believe that if you're paying attention to a single person, you're hurting the body, the whole.
So what you're saying is that if you focus on one individual too much, then it's like you are giving too much resources to one entity, and rather than divide it up amongst everybody to bring the whole up.
Possibly, but then, you know, go back to the family. And so we're unique in that the people that I've been meeting and talking to and hearing issues from, I've really grown to care about each person as an individual. I know about their lives. I know the names of their children. I'm familiar with their issues and their concerns, and I want the best for them. So it's got to be hard to be a council member sitting at the table, and you know all of your constituents. You know very deeply, intimately, the people that you're serving. And in some cases, they are your family members. They're your cousins or, you know, they're your relatives in some way.
However, if you want to help them, we should be making policy decisions and setting goals and action plans to help them and all the other people who are experiencing those same similar types of situations.
Right. And creating programs that benefit the entire membership and having rules in place that say how a person is served so that we all have equal access to those benefits.
Absolutely.
I would really like to see that. You said goals and plans, and those are things that I would really like to see, and I would like to see communication. I can't see you right now, but we're talking and we're all in different places. There's no way we have the technology. There should be membership meetings, one, and they should include all of the members. So I'm frustrated.
And I, you bring up a really good point. I think it would be nice to see technology be added into these meetings so that it could be broadcast.
It'd be nice to see you.
I do have quite a pretty face. I agree. But I mean, if we have some kind of webcam or something in the meeting, because I live in Sacramento, California, very far away from any tribal meeting that happens. So I can't be a part of that due to geography. And I would love to have the technology that we're blessed with in this world today be used to the advantage of all tribal members, no matter where they're located.
Right. Yeah. And there's no reason. I mean, we have a $400 million a year casino. I think 193 or 197, don't quote me on this, million. So about half of it goes towards per capita payments, and the rest of it goes towards funding government programs. So there's no reason that we can't make that available.
Absolutely. And we need to have, you know, clear divisions with clear goals. And I kind of feel, imagine a ship at sea. Now, if you're just drifting along, you know, hey, we're having a great time. We're just going here and there, but we don't have a destination. You're not really making progress. So we have to know where we're going, what we're doing, and create a plan to get there. You know, if you go fly an airplane, one of the first things you do is file a flight plan so you know where you're going. And then you...
You're speaking common sense.
Yeah, and then you, like, work on getting there. And so if you have the right people in place in the right divisions, in the right enterprises, in the right programs, they should be able to operate autonomously. And the tribal council's job is to keep them honest, keep them set. And they should be separate from those day-to-day operations because it's not their business. Their business is the general operations.
So what you're saying is you believe in autonomy with oversight.
Yeah, there we go. Tell me I'm wrong.
They're listening.
You know how it goes. So, and hopefully, and tell me, Annette, is that the way the tribal council is run now?
Unfortunately, it is not. And I don't know if that stems back from the fact that they had to meet in someone's living room many years ago, and they've worked so hard. And, you know, I lift my hands in gratitude. That's how we say thank you to all of the past leaders who have set the foundation. But we're moving into a new time. We're a bigger government. We have more members. We have more programs. We have more revenue. And we really need to do some of the strategic planning, long-term planning, capital planning, planning for programs, planning for sustainability for different programs as well as our natural resources. You know, these are the kinds of things that have to happen for us to continue to be successful.
Yeah. And how often does like a CEO, somebody who created a company from the ground up, they get to a certain point where they have to step down because they take the company so far and then it stalls and they need a new person who can take it into the future. And they say, I founded this company. I am this company. But sometimes the board of directors has to step up and say, it's time for you to step aside.
I said, go to the woods, Steve Jobs.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
Then he comes back and conquers the world.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. So anyway, well, hopefully that goes. If you're a member of the Puyallup tribe, our election, when are the elections?
The elections are the June 4th. That's June a Saturday 4th. Okay. From 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock at the administration building in Tacoma. Or absentee ballot requests are due May 6th in the post office box. And then the absentee ballots will be due June 4th.
Okay. Well, I'll be voting.
I got my absentee ballot in the mail.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I'll be voting.
Awesome. So go ahead and vote if you're a member of the Puyallup tribe. And if you're not, vote in your own tribal council meetings. Well, that's our show for this week. Email us any comments, podcast@puelliptribe.org with your listener mail. We'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available for download from the iTunes store. Search Puyallup Podcast, click on the fish, and subscribe. Until next time, grab your tackle and let's go fishing.